The word peace in our text this morning isn't pax, like pax romana, like peace in Rome, but it is a different word that, and this word, according to Strong's Concordance, that the word does not primarily denote a relationship between several people, or like the word pax, like a relationship between two people, two types of people, or an attitude, but instead a state. And it goes on to say a state of rest. How many of you guys need rest? And it's one of the benefits of the gospel. You see, when we talk about things like Jesus lived the life we couldn't, died the death we deserved, went to the grave, and then rose again. When we speak of these truths, it's not just something we kind of haphazardly put out there, because the benefits of actually believing the gospel are things like the truths that he's speaking into our lives this morning, such as a peace. The peace I think we all desire and want, and that ultimately one day we can have hope that we will have what's known as shalom. Not only will we have outward peace, we will have inward peace. Not only will there be all things as they ought to be with everyone else around us, but we will also have that tranquility of soul. And it's one of the benefits of the gospel. One of the examples I like to use with the peace of God that God has granted us is, have you ever been in the ocean kind of out floating and it's rough, the winds kind of pick up, you start to see white caps? Who's been on rough water? A few of you guys. Well, what's interesting, and what I hope to do when I'm in Hawaii, because it'll be nice and warm, is you go down a few feet and what is it like? It's calm. It's calm and peaceful. You see, it can be turbulent out here, but if you go down in, it's calm and peaceful and tranquil. See, that's the peace of God. That's the peace of Christ that he offers us, that we actually have, which is interesting. It's yours. Everybody say it's mine. Everybody say it's mine. I think some of us know it and believe it, and I think some of us are still getting there. It is a peace that we have. Look at verse 27 again. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. You see, it's not just any peace, it's the peace of Christ. And now refer back to the gospel. The way that he lived his life, fulfilling the righteousness that humans need to enter into heaven, and the peace that he carried not only by example, but also as God himself in the flesh, he grants to his people. It's amazing to think. Like if you think about the peace that God has, in fact, everyone just consider that for a minute. Think about peace with God. Not just peace relationally with God. We have that as well. But God's peace. How peaceful do you think God is? Like, just meditate that for a second. Just selah that moment. Think of the peace of God. Guess what, saints? He gives that peace to us. My peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. And what's interesting is I think that the church, especially our current church context, if we have pendulum swing, which in one degree I agree with, because there's a lot of people out there that do what's called name it and claim it, right? You guys have heard of this? So you have this kind of television personality that's out there, and it's name it and claim it, and, you know, praying for a Mercedes-Benz, and they have airplanes and all this stuff, and they're taking advantage of God's people, and it's ugly, and sheesh, I hope they repent before they get to heaven, because God is not... When we see Jesus get the angriest is when we're dealing with money and God's people. What did Jesus do when he came into that room? He kicked over tables. Can you imagine doing that as a leader and a pastor in God's church? Think Jesus is mad at that? Think Jesus is mad at that? Yeah, he's very mad at that. But we see that example of people naming it and claiming it, and basically if it doesn't happen, you didn't have enough faith, and we see the aftermath of people and the hurt that they've experienced in church. And I think we pendulum swung all the way over to the other side to say, we can never claim anything. But that's not true. See, Jesus goes on to say, I love this, back to verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. In other words, it's not a worldly peace that he gives. And that's the crazy thing about the bad theology of name it and claim it preachers, is that they're saying God is going to give you this healing or this possession or this house or whatever, and they don't have a word from the Lord that they can guarantee that on. And we see them being wrong time and time and time and time again. And what's interesting is I see it even just outside of that extreme, even in the Christian faith in general, with good theology and trying, it's like to be blessed, this has to happen. To feel peace, I need to, and then fill in the blank. This relationship needs to be reconciled. This situation needs to be, something outwardly needs to happen for me to have peace. But see, the interesting thing is when we think of peace and Jesus giving us peace, sometimes we might go, that means God's going to do this for me. And that's where we go wrong. It's not that God is going to do something for you outwardly, it's that He will give you peace no matter what happens. See, the world offers peace and says you can have peace in, think about it. Yeah, exactly. Riches, vacations, material items, relationships, all these different things. We're like, if just this one thing just happened. See, we're not promised that one thing. That's what the world offers, some sort of outward situation. But instead, Jesus offers us peace inwardly. He offers us this amazing, no matter what happens type peace. See, we don't know how it will all work out, but I do know that we can have peace through it. And this is what we claim. See, you can name and claim this. And that's why I told that story in the beginning. It wasn't just event. It's because in all these situations, in my sleeplessness and my frustration with turning fluorescent lights into LED lights and the fact that I own a Samsung dryer that you have to take the entire thing apart just to replace the belt. Anybody else feel my pain? In all these different situations and frustrations, and I could feel like my patience kind of wearing thin and we're just super busy, I was able to say, but I have the peace of Christ. And no matter what freak out moment it is, like when I first found out my dryer broke down, it was just like, are you serious? 5 minutes later, fast forward, I have the peace of Christ. Have the peace of Christ. See, this is what we claim. And what's cool is it's based on the truth of God's word. You have it, allow it, or let it rule in your life. Let it rule in your life. Look at verse 27c, or 27, the rest of 27. It says, not as the world gives, do I give to you. And then it says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And that's the only command, the only imperative we have in our text, is let not, allow not, the word let there, don't let your hearts be troubled. Why? Because we have the peace of Christ. Nor let them be your hearts afraid. Why? Because you have the peace of Christ. Say, I have the peace of Christ. That's that you can claim that. In your situations, no matter where you're at, you can say, I have the peace of Christ. And here's the crazy thing. It's not a mantra. It's not like some sort of baseless kind of like just do it type thing. Like some of you guys remember this song. Here's a little song I wrote. Anyone? You might want to sing it note for note. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. There it is. So that's just Yeah, don't worry, everybody, you guys. Why? You see, that song is cool, and I like it, but what's it basing the claim on? But what do we base our claim on? Jesus. See the difference? It's not just like this random, like, hey, don't worry about it. Don't stress out. It's like, based on what? Thanks? But we can go to the Word of God, who Jesus Christ, historically known, proven outside of Scriptures, apologetically, in other words, who Christ is, can be proven time and time and time again, and His claims can be proven true and true and true every single time, across the board. Jesus, our Savior, He says, you can actually claim that you have my peace because I gave it to you. And here's the thing. You have it. Now let it. Look what it says in Colossians 3, verses 15 and 16. And what's that word? And let. Everybody say that with me. Just the two first words. And let. Allow. It's not a command to work towards, like I got to figure out how to get peace. It's allow. Why is it allow? Because you already have it. You already have it. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called. The Gospel of John, we don't see this word until this last, right before he goes to the cross, but we see it used often, or at least a few times, when he meets his disciples after the resurrection. And I found that intriguing. Why? Because based on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, you have peace. And we're called to turn our troubles to peace. To turn our troubles to peace. Look at Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, we replace our trouble, we turn our trouble, and we replace our stress with peace. But see, it's not an equation. If you look at that text, it's in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And I think sometimes we think, well, if I pray, then I will have peace. In other words, it's like this equation thing, 1 + 1 = But it's not. The prayer is there to remind you of what's already true about you, that you have His peace. Let it. It's the same thing with reading God's Word. It's let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And as we read and as we pray, we understand that these truths are already there for us. And then we go, okay, now I can say, I have peace. That's what prayer does. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, giving that idea again of like when everything's going astray, with like Job, when it all crashes down, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. That is a peace that surpasses all understanding. And it'll guard your heart and your mind. It's time to, and we recalibrate our faith to the truth of God's Word. It goes on to say in Philippians, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. We turn our trouble to peace. I love it in Hebrews 4. I'll just quote this for you. It says, let us strive to enter rest. I always saw that as kind of an oxymoron, right? Let us strive to enter rest. You guys with me? But what the striving is not only acknowledging the fact that you already have the peace of Christ, but then to be intentional to look for whatever is true and noble and excellent if there's anything praiseworthy, think about these things. And so you're being intentional about looking around in life and seeing it. It's one of the advices I give when newly married couples come in for counseling to, you know, kind of give them some tools for their future. We talk about encouragement, and we talk about the idea of the evidence of God's grace, that God's fingerprint is everywhere, all around us, and one act of kindness can be noteworthy. It's like, I'm going to think about that. Whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise, think or meditate on these things. And it's a call to come back to peace, to turn your trouble into peace. Because it says, it's interesting when it says in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. That's what's known as a bookend. Look over in chapter 14, verse 1. He starts this section by saying, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And so we see in the troubles of life, he begins to give these amazing truths throughout that text and puts a bookend on it, kind of bringing this text together and saying, if you want to not let your hearts be troubled, if you want the peace of God, begin to actually believe these things. When you guys are driving down the road, do you ever just something shows up on your playlist or on the radio, or you hear something in the background and it's one of those songs that like take you back? That feel good kind of just like, ah. There's a song that has literally gone over generations from my mom to me to my kids. It's called Danny's Song by Kenny Loggins. In the morning when I rise, you bring a tear of joy to my eyes. Tell me everything's gonna be all right. I heard a song similar to that, and I listened to that particular song this morning. And I thought to myself, there's something about hearing that song that like takes you back to like memories. And it's funny because that song's on one of our playlists when we travel. And now, so I sang that song as a baby with my mom. She would teach me that song. And then now my kids, when we're in the car, we all sing it. I would break out into song, but I don't want to embarrass myself. But the bottom line, we're all just singing this song. And what's cool is it brings back like a memory. I think the Word of God is like that. And because I think oftentimes we hear the Word of God in a setting like this, and it's not a song. It's not. But when we think about the peace of God, I want to encourage you to think about the peace of God and remember this truth like an old song. The peace of God. And just let it begin to, just be sung over you. And I think this is what the Holy Spirit does. See, the Holy Spirit, we read on in our text, in verse 22, our context, Judas asks, says, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Now, he's answering that question. But in verse 23, he says, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him, right? And then in verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. And then verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will do what? Teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. See, the Holy Spirit is like that old song. He will bring to remembrance these beautiful truths that you had to take you back to the first time you got to know Christ, your baptism. The elation, the joy, the freedom, the forgiveness that you once felt. And I feel like that's what the Holy Spirit does. I feel like the Holy Spirit is continually singing over us. We just don't let our souls hear it. And so oftentimes we run around with anxiousness and stress and worry and trouble instead of just allowing the peace of God, like a song, an old song with great truths, not said just randomly, but founded within Jesus Christ Himself, that He sings over us, the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit. In chapter 14, verse 16, as we look at the Holy Spirit, it says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper." And so what does the Holy Spirit do? His actual title is helper, and He's going to be with us forever. Verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." You see, this is how He will manifest Himself to us and not the entire world until His second coming, is the indwelling sense of the whole, indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And He is a Spirit of truth and a helper. And He sings these truths over us. And let His peace, allow His peace to go over you. In Zephaniah 3:17, it says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with" what? With singing. But rejoice over you with singing. As we look at this text and we look at this context and we see that Christ has peace. He had peace with the Father. He had peace eternally. He walked this earth with peace. And then He takes that peace and He gives us to us. And then it's not like we got to figure it out on our own. We have the Holy Spirit, I believe, constantly and continually. Not only the Holy Spirit, but also all of creation who yearns for the coming of the Son of Man. If we just open our eyes and listen, we will hear the peace of God being sung over us. We're called to turn our trouble to peace. In verse 29, it says, "And now I have told you before it takes place, so then when it does take place, you may believe." See, by faith we hold to these truths. And I think sometimes when these truths are proclaimed, if I could just have everybody's attention for a minute. I can tell it's a lazy morning. Everyone's a little tired. I am too. If I was listening to me, I'd be almost asleep. Then we're like, "Well, just tell me what to do." I think oftentimes, and it's okay, sometimes we have direct commands in Scripture. But the only command we have is, "Let not your heart be troubled." That's what you have. But I don't want to just leave you with a command. Just, okay, I really try to not let my heart be troubled without basing it on truth. And how we base that is the fact that you have the peace of God. You have Christ's peace. Now, how does this work? Well, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to share with you some of the things that I got to experience this week. Well, I already shared the details, but just simply going, "I believe I have the peace of Christ." In whatever moment it is, I will not be afraid. Why? Because my God is with me. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. And He's singing over me to have peace in the situation. And because He says it, I can. That's how this stuff works. It's actually like quoting it out loud. Not to forget the story I shared with this many years ago. I've been here 5 years now as of July 3rd, but I shared this story a long time ago, but I'll never forget it. It was a man named Ben who was he wasn't just an alcoholic. When he would go on a binge, he would almost die. Like gallons and gallons and gallons of vodka. And he would just disappear, and his apartment would be, I walked in on him one time, or he walked in on me, when I was working at a deli, and he looked like death. Like he literally looked dead, somehow still walking and barely talking, and covered in urine and other things. It was like, whoa. I don't know how he got from his house to the deli that I worked, but by the grace of God, he did, because I left work, almost got fired for that. I left work. I took him to his house. I walked into his house and realized, oh my gosh. Called some people from our community group. They called an ambulance. And so this is the kind of alcoholic he was. Well, by the grace of God, he gets sober. And now fast forward to quite a few months later, he walks into like a CVS, the Hawaiian version of CVS. And what does he see? His favorite vodka in a pyramid tower going, ah. How do you think his heart felt in that moment? And he said out loud, he pointed his finger at that alcohol and said, I will not drink you in Jesus' name. And then finished his shopping. Now, we celebrate that. But guess what? You can do the same thing with the peace of Christ. I will have peace in the face of this conflict. I will have peace. And it's not a baseless faith. It's not a baseless claim. That's how you apply this stuff. Is you actually believe God's word. And when the situations that come and God calls you to have peace and it doesn't work out the way you want, you can still have peace. And guess what that does? It increases your faith. That you may believe. That you may believe. Verse 29. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. Verse 30. I will no longer talk much with you, for the rule of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. He's speaking of Satan. See, we claim peace, but Satan has no claim to take our peace. Because we are in Christ, and Satan has no claim over Christ. I was expecting way more amens on that one. Let me say that again. Now that you guys are paying attention. I'm closing with this. In fact, if I could have the band come up. We claim peace. We have the peace of Christ, but Satan has no claim to take our peace. Therefore, we have the victory. Amen. Amen. And we're called to turn our troubles to peace.